Osage Nation Congress Appropriations Committee meeting to order is December the sixth, 1:15 PM. Roll call.
Congresswoman Whitmore?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Norris? Congresswoman Pratt?
Let's see.
Congressman Shaw?
Here.
Excuse me.
Okay, so if I could ask Congressman Tillman to pray for us.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time. And Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the many blessings and your grace that continue to you bestow upon us each and every day. Bless us as we go forward in this current meeting to benefit the nation and its people, all three of the branches. Help us to work in a cooperative spirit. Father, we just ask you again to take care of all of our sick, our elders, our children. Be with those servicemen and women in uniform wherever they may be. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Next item, approval of minutes. December 2nd. Minutes are attached to our agenda. Let the minutes reflect that a quorum is present. Chair would entertain a motion to approve or amend the minutes as submitted.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the minutes as submitted from December 2nd. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approval say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, no. The minutes are approved. I've got two items on the agenda today, and first is discussion of the FY 2016 audit, and we have addressed the selection of auditors, and it is the position of this committee and the Congress that the selection process includes approval by the Congress. We're aware that Gledson Associates was selected by the treasurer, who had cited law previously that felt like he did not require approval. But today we're really here to discuss with Bledsoe and Associates, and I appreciate them being here. If you could introduce yourself for the audience that may want to refer to the meeting record.
Dana Poppy, Bledsoe and Associates partner.
Ryan Harris, Bledsoe and Associates partner.
Thank you. Give me the journey up from Oklahoma City at my request. To be able to provide information about their audit, the extent of their audit. I've made available to you and the clerk has a copy of a request for a compliance review that was submitted by Congresswoman Whitehorn and a copy of their response to the request for proposal. And then today, Mr. Cobb and our treasurer have brought a copy of the engagement letter that they negotiated with Bledsoe and Associates, and also a ranking summary that had to do with the selection of this auditor. So you have those documents here to assist us today in our discussion here. So I guess what I'd ask first is if the representatives from Bledsoe would like to just have any opening remarks on their end, and I'm sure we'll have some questions for you.
Yeah, we have been engaged to perform the audit, obviously, and I know some questions have been raised as far as what all is incorporated into an audit, and we are engaged to perform what's called a single audit, which is the financial statement audit in conjunction with the grant compliance audit. So we will test all of the financial statements, balance sheet accounts, income statements of the tribe. We will review the internal control, we'll document the internal control procedures that are in place. Then we will perform a test to see if they were actually implemented and operating in accordance with how they're designed. We will obtain all of, we have to select a certain amount of major programs on the grants, and we have to perform tests of compliance with the grant agreements. We also have to review those control, internal controls over any grant fund disbursements. Be sure, you know, if there's any education requirements of our employees, if there's any reporting requirements, those are met, or if there's any limitations as to costs that the funds can be used for on the grant side, that those are within the requirements of the OMB and the grant specific requirements, that they're in within the budget that has been submitted to the granting agencies, and if there's modifications that are required to go back to the agency, that those were approved by the agency, and so that's so we can report back on the grant internal controls, and if there's any question costs of any kind on the back on the tribe audit, we'll get support and reconciliations for all balance sheet and all assets and liabilities on the balance sheet. We will test the support to make sure that it's legitimate, that assets and liabilities are properly reflected. We will do searches for subsequent activity to make sure that there's not any missing liabilities that should have been picked up as of the audit date that weren't. We'll do various inquiries with accounting personnel and just kind of assess the fraud risk. There's, on the income statement side, we test those controls and we do a lot of analytics to identify various fraud risks or abnormalities as far as accounts that we would need to test further. And then as we test those, we would determine, why did these increase? Is it in line with budget? Is it approved? Is it, sometimes it's an accounting error, like it's coded incorrectly, if there's an issue like that, or if there's some sort of fraud that's going on. And we'll assist in helping to prepare the financial statements, and management has to represent to us that they have replied fully and honestly to all of our inquiries, that they provide us with all the support that we requested, and they have to ultimately take responsibility for the financial statements. But we've done all the work to get comfortable opining on those numbers that they are materially correct.
Thank you for that comprehensive
mm-hmm.
review. Mr. Davis, please?
Harris.
Yes. Ryan?
Right.
Harris. Did you have any remarks you wish to make?
No, I think Janet covered it pretty good.
Let me start with one question, then we'll get to Congresswoman Edwards. Mr. Kirby, you're talking about an A-85 audit? I forgot what you had.
No, A-133.
A-133 audit.
That's a single audit
mm-hmm.
on federal grants.
Uniform
yeah.
So you do that, but you're beyond that, though, also, your single audit.
What a single audit is it's called a single audit because you're doing your normal financial statement audit, and at the same time you're doing your compliance audit, because you can have a separate, you can do them separately or together, but a single audit, you're getting your financial statement audit of the tribe, and they're simultaneously doing the grant compliance audit in what's called a single audit, so that you can gain some efficiencies with testing. You have test controls on both pieces, and so they have what's called a single audit, so that can be done all together.
I've got a document that had been supplied to the committee by Congressman Edwards, who's sitting up there next to the speaker who's in the middle, that was seeking to request additional review parameters. But part of your coming today was to determine what you currently do and how this
mm-hmm.
might be in addition to what you usually do as part of it. Maybe it's not, but I'm sorry I didn't get this to you in advance, but it's fairly brief. It has to do with items or duties and responsibilities that may be something that Congress would want to add if it's not currently done.
Yeah, I would say most of this is already included, and I know Kelly had asked about, review compliance with Osage Nation laws, and I'm not a lawyer or legal expert. Typically, I don't get into laws, but to the extent that any of the laws are mirrored in your procurement policies and control policies, I review those, and then I review what's done. So if it's outside of your approved procurement policies and approvals and budget policies, then that would result in a finding, in the finding, internal control finding. If something was done that's not in line with the internal control policies and procedures that are in place, then so most financial related laws that you would have would technically be mirrored in what you've documented in your procurement policies that have been approved, correct? You think?
So, Congresswoman Edwards.
Okay, well, I actually don't think I did circulate this.
I can't remember who supplied that.
I don't think it wasn't me. So, starting back a ways, we've got this August 31st letter from Bledsoe.
Yeah, the engagement letter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We've got an issue because I don't think the Osage Nation Congress saw the engagement letter nor saw the proposal. And did you wonder why we weren't at any of these meetings that you might have had?
Well, they requested us to submit proposals, and then they notified us that we were selected.
Okay.
So.
I'll tell you, there's a little issue in our Constitution that says the Congress approves the auditor, and we haven't done that yet. I think that's probably, have you told them that's maybe one of the reasons why they're here today?
I think I mentioned that.
Okay.
Yeah. I was focused more on this document here that we don't know the source, but still,
okay.
I believe it was approved by the committee.
The document that we sent out to them, yes, it was.
Okay. I'm just saying it's not for me. So when you say, what kind of audit do we need then for you to, when you say, for example, that you compare your, like when you say you look at the grants requirements and you see that it's within the budget submitted by the program or the division or whatever,
uh-huh.
You're not looking at that budget to see if that budget then complies with the appropriations or other parameters that the nation has set
for the grant funds?
For the spending of those grant funds.
Well, usually you have your approved grant budgets that are filed with the granting agency, and so as far as the grant's concerned, we are comparing what was spent under the grant with what they approved. And then usually you have your general fund budget that sometimes has funds that support those grants. That's kind of a separate issue. So we would kind of separately from the grant testing, because the grant, this is what gets reported to the government and filed with the clearinghouse. So then we would get the budgets for all the general funds, and we would compare what was actually approved in the budgets for any general funds. And if some of the general funds support grant programs, then we would compare all that to what was the actual results, and then we would investigate any significant variances.
So here's my example, that this is just the example I know from yesterday. We have an education division, and it's reported to us that through a contract, the federal government is awarding funds that they say are for a, quote, cost of living increase. Now, the nation doesn't give cost of living increases. So in order for you to see if how would the nation then comply, from your analysis, with the requirement that that money go for a cost of living increase?
Well, if this specific grant is select, we don't look at every grant. We have to select major programs. So, first of all, it would depend on if it's the grant that we selected. But if they have allowed additional funds to cover payroll, you know, payroll and benefits, then, I mean, we would compare any changes in payroll and benefits for that purpose. I mean,
the federal granting agency that provided those funds has a specific purpose for those funds, for granting you those funds, regardless of whether you guys do a cost of living increase or not. Those funds would need to be spent on the cost of on payroll.
Okay, so you will not be examining. If you saw something that said federal grant cost of living increase, you wouldn't go and determine whether those funds were spent on a cost of living increase. You would just look to make sure that they were in salaries and wages, for example.
Well, I mean, dollar for dollar, I mean, I wouldn't see those dollars come in and immediately go out. We would look for an increase. You see what I'm saying? Like, you'd look for an increase in payroll that would substantiate a cost of living increase during that period. I mean, there's no way I can track that exact dollar came in and got spent right here. It's easier to look at it and say, or
I mean, usually it's kind of a budget issue for the next year. So you have your approved budget, and then, I mean, typically what we would see is they would have higher salaries and wages, and they would provide us this letter that says we were allocated additional funds for a cost of living. I mean, we may or may not just be given. I mean, it just depends on the situation.
Well, that's what I'm just trying to figure out, how our laws play into your analysis. So, for example, if our laws say you can have this much of an increase and no more, and I'm not saying they say that, but if that's what it said, and then you had some funds, some federal grant funds that you saw, $28,000, for example, in federal grant funds for cost of living, you wouldn't go to the point of seeing that those federal grant funds were spent pursuant to a law that said you can spend it on this.
No, probably not.
And so what kind of audit do we have that takes that extra step, that sees if the funding, I mean, I understood you said that you're going to look at procurement policies, but what if the procurement policies don't match our law? You're not looking at that at all.
I'm looking at the financial statement approved procurement policies and comparing them to what's actually being done and what's the approved policies.
And what if there are no approved policies in a certain instance, but there is law that talks about it?
I mean, basically, if you guys have specific concerns that you want to communicate to us, that you want us to focus on, we can do that.
Okay. And then when you say you look, for example, you say you look at a budget that's submitted by the Treasury Office or the individual department, and you see if it's within the budget and the grant, then you don't go any further to see if that budget is within the parameters of what our laws say.
No, I mean,
okay, I think that's what I'm hearing you say, and I'm just confirming.
Right, you guys approve budgets, and we test that control of your approving the budgets to the controls of what was expended and the purposes. Unless you have communicated to us something in addition to the budgeting process that needs to be considered, I mean,
okay,
there would be no way for us to.
And what kind of audit? So that have you showed them this? This is what you showed them?
Yes.
What kind of audit, additional auditing requirements would you need in an engagement to perform some of the questions or some of the.
I mean, we basically, this bottoms, without reading these laws up here, I can't answer what this is asking us without having the laws or having time to read the laws. This bottom part is essentially covered under the audit except for the part that says to record all receipts, revenues, transfers, budget modifications, and disbursements, expenses in the proper fiscal year, because we as auditors operate on a basis of material transactions and materiality, so we have a materiality threshold. So we scope things so that all material items are picked up, but if there's like some small commitment that's well below materiality, we can't look at every item that goes out.
So we would need to set out for you the specific areas that we want to have looked at.
Correct.
And then you'll come back with another engagement.
Yeah, almost like agreed procedures,
yeah,
for those particular.
If it's not already something that
that's
picked up in our procedures or that we can modify our current procedures, yes. If it's too extensively beyond like the normal procedures.
How many folks do you have on this audit?
Ryan and I are working on it, and then we have Paul Bradford working on it.
Three people.
Mm-hmm.
And are all of you employees of Bledsoe and Associates?
Paul Bradford, he's semi-retired, and he works on we use him on audits, especially up north, and he helps us, and we contract with him, and we oversee everything that he does just as an employee, but he's not always employed. No.
So he's a contracted.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of you are employees?
Yes.
We're partners, yes.
And are you guys both CPAs?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if I have.
And, I mean, if you want other, she's a certified fraud examiner. I'm also a certified information security auditor. So.
Okay.
So I have an IT degree and a Bachelor of Science in accounting.
We could use you over here for that IT degree.
So.
I mean, all I see is I know that there are definitions that are used in all our budgeting that are in law, and those aren't listed on here. Pretty sure that 15ONC, 1A, 101 are all those definitions as amended. No, the definitions.
Oh, the definitions.
Of all of our accounting, as used in accounting, we've got definitions in law. And so I would think that would be a relevant law that you would want to have in order to measure against what's going on.
Okay.
I mean, I think that was the effort here, was to bring forth some of the laws that we have that need to be utilized. I mean, that's all the questions I have. I'm just trying to figure out how you get what the Congress needs and wants. Would you need additional employees or additional contracted people to do more work?
Well, I haven't had a chance to go through this and to determine the extent of the additional work, so it's hard to answer that. I mean, I feel like most of it is included, depending on the word all there, or if you're truly wanting every transaction tested. Is that what the intent is?
I don't
every transaction.
No. I mean,
but
it would
we
be
we
helpful
do
if you could pinpoint. You
we
know,
do
focus.
Already do a search for material items.
So we'll look at disbursement subsequent to year end. Material disbursement subsequent to year end and make the determination whether or not those should have been accrued or not. I mean, that's one of our major procedures that would happen for the audit anyway, but it would be on a sample basis. It wouldn't be every transaction,
right.
Making sure that, all of those I mean, it would be based on sample, a sample basis.
Okay, committee, any other questions? Follow-up for Bledsoe and Associates?
I guess what's put us down this trail to awareness is that Congress has not been, the Constitution clearly states that we help choose the auditor, the CPA that audits the nation's financials, and this time, for some reason, we weren't involved in that process. Also, I think towards the end of the year, we had some questions of budget modifications being made close to the end of the year, and it caused question. There was a program that was found, or they were asked about to sign off on a budget modification that had occurred, and we weren't sure if the modification was done previous to the year end or after the year end, and so there was just some questions that we had, and it just so happened that it all came at the time of engaging the auditor
mm-hmm.
for our records. So we didn't know how far or how if you examine things like that, as far as the movement of money, shifting it from budget to budget, if it's just a sampling, I don't know. I'm not a finance person, you know.
I mean, we
that's
definitely
not the language I speak. So,
right.
Yeah.
We definitely look at the movements, and especially, I mean, like I said, there's a scope. So we look at significant movements, and then we look to make sure that they're within budget or that they have been approved according to the policies, if not within budget. So.
And then our Budget Parameters Limitation Act also states that you don't move from above non-administrative to administrative.
Mm-hmm.
We have the 126 rule into as far as expenditure out of salary and wages. And I'm pretty sure that that wasn't followed this year at some point. There was a directive that they were not going to follow that law. So those are just maybe internal things, but
right.
But it has to do with the movement of how our budgeted money
mm-hmm.
works and flows, and it's problematic to us. So what you can do, I don't know. But my next question is, how long is this engagement for? Is it a 1 year's audit? Are you engaged for 2, 3? Do you know?
The request for proposal said it was for 1 year up to 5 years. So it was only a 1 year at a time.
So right now you're contracted for 1 year.
For 1 year at a time, yeah.
Okay,
because
I think that the last audit we had, quite possibly we were contracted longer than that. So that was interesting to me and curious to me. And then I have a question for the treasurer, or do we want to stay with Bledsoe for right now?
No, I think we're fine here. I guess at this point I'd like to acknowledge the controller, Mr. Chad Cobb, and our treasurer, Mr. Alexander, here, see if they have any remarks they want to make about the auditor or the auditors. I appreciate you being here today to support our discussion. So, do you have anything you wanted to say?
I mentioned earlier to the committee that I've worked with the Bledsoe firm before, and that's we're not friends, anything like that. We've never I don't think I've ever shared a meal with them, a drink, or anything like that. I'm familiar with their work from the Seminole Nation, and I know that they can do a tribal audit. I've seen their work for a good 10 years, and that's part of the, I think that the people that were working on picking them listened to me about that. We had some good responses. Besides theirs, and I'm glad they're here. I'm glad that I think they're doing a good job. They're probably, in my estimation, almost done with their field work, and an audit is actually, they've got some stuff to do, and so do I, and so we're both still working together, and the financial statements actually belong to the tribe. They're private financial states. They don't belong to this firm. And so it all has to work together like that. I appreciate them being here.
Congressman Whitehorn, you had a question for the treasurer or the controller?
Yes, when we were approving the minutes, I noticed that there was a request to, and we have the letter of engagement with Bledsoe, and also we have the RFP selection rating sheet, but I don't know who was on that committee. Can you tell us who was on that committee, Mr.
We
Treasurer?
Actually, Mr. Cobb was on it. Bob was on it. Tim, Tim Stike is the CPA, he's the CFO for the casino.
Right, thank you.
What did Jeff on? Chief Stanger was on it. And we, that's what the committee ended up being.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Cobb.
And I think you were alluding to one of the three documents that was on the minutes. I think it got stapled to the back of the engagement letter. At least on the copy that the clerk handed me, it's there.
Well, if there are no other questions,
I see that. Thank you.
I have a piece on projecting. I'm sorry. Congressman Supernaw has a question.
Somewhere I saw there were Archie Mason's on the committee.
For what?
Somewhere I saw there were Archie Mason's.
We asked Archie to, our Speaker Mason, we asked him to participate, and he didn't. And I believe, I talked to him about it, but I believe it was a time when his wife was having some severe health issues, and we figured that's why he didn't really have time to join us with that.
Oh, okay.
That was a issue.
Could I ask,
please continue.
Can I ask, it's probably buried in here, but I don't know where I would find it, but there's a list of the nation's entities. And I don't know the scope of this engagement letter. Does it include, are you going to audit the nation, the foundation, and the LLCs as part of the audit? Well, Limited, we have several.
Right. We originally in the RFP were under the understanding that Osage Nation Energy Services and the Home Health and the new clinic were included in the RFP, and that was it. But since we've been out here, they've indicated, I think, that we need to pick up the foundation, which is very small. And I am still unclear. Osage LLC is in Tallgrass. I was under the impression that BKB was auditing them, and then we would pull that into the government-wide financials, consolidated financial statements. Is that correct, Sam?
BKB does Tallgrass, and Tallgrass is kind of I'm not sure it's the right word, successor to Osage LLC.
Is anybody auditing Osage LLC, or is there anything left in that?
I think it's really a pretty dormant entity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
I guess. Where in here do we find the scope of your work that you are going to audit? Because it appears, looking at this, I would have thought you would be auditing them, but you say you're not, that's going to be picked up by someone else.
Yeah, I mean, the engagement letter, it talks about auditing the tribe and the business entities, and just the understanding of that is, and then we get a confirmation from the auditors of, like, the casinos, where we have a specific confirmation from them that they sign, and we pull their audit into the government-wide audit. So it's all included, but specific pieces of it are being audited by other auditors. And so it's basically the understanding from the RFP and so forth that which ones we will specifically audit and which ones we will rely on the other audits and pull into the government-wide presentation.
And I have to ask Kelly, because he's on our auditing part of the legislature. Is that sound all right to you, the way it's been done?
It's the way it's laid out in the engagement letter. I mean, did your request for proposal list all the governmental owned entities and the different funds?
I don't remember.
While they're looking for that, can I address question to Bledsoe and Associates? On your materiality, what's your level to be material?
What's the dollar amount?
Yes.
It's different. So far what we've done is the compliance. Since we haven't received the final trial balance yet.
Right.
And that's when we will calculate that materiality for the final trial balance. But we have individual materialities for each of the programs. So I would have to go reference those calculations individually. There's four major programs that were selected, and then there's various fund level and government-wide level materiality amounts.
Do you believe that your engagement letter basically meets all the requirements of the GASB 34 government-wide audit?
Yes, sir. This is a templated engagement letter that's through PPC. That a lot of firms
use PPC for our audit programs.
And
so we use a template. We pull a template that
right.
provides all the required documentation for our engagement letter out of PPC. So
I guess what I'm looking at is I acquired our request for proposals from Navajos and the Cherokees, Choctaws, Chickasaws, Creeks, and they all state government-wide audit on the request for the proposals, plus the single audit. And they also, some of them, they vary, but they list all the individual funds and all the business entities, so you know exactly.
And that was in the RFP. There was different groups with different entities and if they counted centralized, decentralized, if they're included with this scope of audit or if they're audited by other auditors. And then,
yes, ma'am.
And then we also, receive the last couple of years of audits so we could review, all the notes that would include that information as well and kind of the scope as far as what's been done in the past and
Let me interject here. We really have 5 minutes, 6 minutes left in the meeting. I was hoping we could touch on the projected revenue, where we stood with funds available and funds that are requests. I'm not sure we're going to have time to get to that. I'd be happy to try to, but what's the committee? Ask a couple more questions on this and have me report out what I've got a copy of a report here in front of you. Go through the report in 5 minutes. What's the committee's?
I have a motion.
Okay. Your motion?
Yeah. We did get the ranking summary from the committee, but it doesn't show what individuals ranked what. And I remember the treasurer indicating that price was important, and I think it was because this entity ranked third out of five until the price was factored in. And then when the price factored in, they ranked the highest. But I also wanted to see how the individual, so I guess there's only four people on the committee.
What's your motion?
And I wanted to see that. So my motion is to request the individual rankings from the four members, as I understood it, were on the committee, and also to request that the treasurer modify the engagement letter in conformity with the request of Congress regarding the scope of the audit.
Motion's been made.
Second.
We're going to need the clerk to record this motion.
She's here.
Oh, sure. Looking for her up there. Okay. You have that motion, Madam Clerk?
Motion to request the individual ranking of the members of the committee and for the treasurer to
request the treasurer to to modify the engagement letter. In accordance with. Items requested by the committee. Discussion.
Is there a second? Seconded by Congressman Tillman. Discussion.
See, I don't see in here where it does list out what entities are being audited, and that confused me when I saw the request for proposal, because it had entities that are corporations, entities that are limited liability companies, entities that are 501c3 companies, and so, and I think some of those entities do have outside auditors. I think that the foundation, for example, has an audit done. I might be mistaken on that, but I thought they did. Anyway, if we're going to...
I've seen a financial statement review that has been performed on that, but
okay.
Not an audit.
All right. So I think we, for one, I think those all need to be listed in here to clarify exactly what entities that are going to be audited. Then the other thing, I don't know, do we have conflict of interest? Have you guys filled out any conflict of interest forms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those, it didn't show that those were in here. And just some other things that I hear you guys talking about that you want to include, it may cost more money, and I understand that. We ought to give them an opportunity to reprice whatever we're requesting, and we may have to come up with more money, but I think that it's important enough to us that we ought to ask that the treasurer modify the audit engagement to include those items. That's why I made the motion.
Any further discussion? Congressman Whitehorn.
Well, I'm in agreement that if we want other things in this letter of engagement with them, that we should do so, but I think that the motion's a little bit vague, because I don't think the committee has those. I think that if we give that motion to the treasurer how it's made, it really doesn't give him any direction what we're exactly talking about right now at this point, does it?
No, I think you're going to have to develop your list.
Right.
That's not, but...
Well, what's the motion
him,
then?
It puts him on notice that we want him to amend the, and them too, that we want to amend the basically the contract. So I don't think you're going to have to develop the list.
Do you guys have like a time frame as well that you're wanting the audit completed? I know initially the RFP, they were wanting a lot shorter time frame, like as early as January 31st or February 1st. I don't know if that's completely possible just to get all of the other audited pieces in anyway, so that might not be completely realistic. But as far as like adding additional work, I didn't know if you guys had a time frame in mind as far as when you wanted the audit completed. I mean, I know it has to be filed by June 30th. I know Sam did not want to even push towards that, 9 months after year end, because he felt like it was more beneficial to have a timelier audit. But then we have to, be realistic about what all you guys want included and what time frame you guys want it done by. So
I think we're used to having the audits done when
the past two have been June and July, but we have had them as early as April. So I think in this your engagement letter, it says you're going to have it completed the end of February. Is that what it said somewhere?
Well,
I mean, yeah.
But the request was for it to be done by February 1st, and we said we'll have it
close.
Yeah, depending on getting all the pieces, we will aim for as close to that as we can. But
without, you would have to modify the time frame too if it's more work.
Let me go ahead and take the floor here for a comment prior to the vote. I think it's important that this audit be completed earlier than June 30th this year. As you know, we have a lot of funds that are awaiting availability to the Congress for appropriating for whatever needs, including operations. And that was in part a decision by this committee. Waiting all the way till July and not having that available in the spring session for consideration, I think, is too late. And I question whether modifying the agreement or the engagement letter now, while theoretically it does seem to add another layer of scrutiny to our operations, I just question whether it's going to have any practical effect. Because you remember when our BKD presented our audit, we looked at it, we asked questions about it, but there wasn't the detail of questioning that I would expect that adding this level is going to really result in anything. And I'm trying to separate, yeah, we could do all this, but is it really going to have any practical effect that's going to help the Congress oversee the people's operations? And so I for one, as a member of this committee, cannot support that. Any other questions before we vote or comments?
He's the chair.
Yeah, we need to wrap this up. We're going to vote on this. They've got an hour, and they got three bills.
I would amend my motion to include so that the additional information does not extend the audit beyond March 27th, 2016. That's the first day of Congress.
I'll second the amendment because I don't know that I'm voting on the main motion, but at least we've put a time frame in there. Right.
An amendment to the motion.
Amendment.
Any further discussion? If not, all in favor of the amendment say yes.
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 Okay, all opposed say no. Okay, now we're back to the amended motion.
I believe that it's premature for us to make a motion like that. I still don't believe it gives the treasurer direction without this committee meeting again, and I think we could make a motion like that at another committee meeting.
Okay.
So, although I do support further scrutiny of what we're going to do, I'm not sure that this motion is the one for it.
We didn't need to vote, or the movement needs to withdraw. We can restate it
okay.
at another time. We're into the government operations. What would the committee like to do? What would the movement like to do?
Well, I at least want the information from the, I mean, I think you guys need to, if you're going to do something, you need to get on it. But I at least want the information. So I'll withdraw the second part of the amendment of the request, but the first part can stay.
And the first part is individual scoring?
Yes.
Madam Clerk, do you have an
mm-hmm.
idea what that means? Okay. So it's been withdrawn and restated. You're moving to requesting the treasurer the individual scoring totals
right.
for the responses to the request for proposal. Okay.
Right.
All in favor of the motion say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Motion carried. I will be handing this out later. basically, we are about $145,000 over appropriated if everything should pass as it's currently filed. On the second page, I've got some options. We can amend out $183,000 in educational tribal requests, which may be pending. We can choose to fund part of the request for health out of the permanent or retained revenue funds, or to fund the restricted real property tribal appropriation out of the economic development fund. So those are all other options to try to reduce or prevent our appropriating more than annual projected tribal revenue. And I'll expand on that further when we reconvene with the commission and the speaker. Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
If no objection, we're adjourned.
Who is Bledsoe?
Dan Bledsoe.
Is he older gentleman or?
Dan and I started the firm at